Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem L. of the Tamarite 2 Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour, Sundiata Amma L., Professor Isef Deanham L., Tahaka Amana L., Abundance Child, Fatima, the Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L., and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state. Moore's Eastside Farms, putting one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bey. I have to apologize to you. We had technical difficulties trying to get into this thing today, and but we finally got it fixed, and we are here. We're dealing with the part two of Moorish Americans, Do You Really Own Your Land? If you have questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to go ahead and get directly into the broadcast. Now, I really, really hope you got paper and pencil today, because we're going to give you some very important information in regarding your mortgage, because most of us don't understand what happens when you sign your papers for your mortgage and you get your house. But today, we are going to give you a step-by-step breakdown of exactly what happened. Keep in mind, the solution to these problems are right there at newfreehelpgroup.com. We're going to put that in the chat room, newfreehelpgroup.com, www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Okay? Now, we're offering our free articles. The way to get that is just say Tahaka, send me them free articles, send it in the email to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll rush that right on to you. And that is the 14th Amendment exposed, as well as the commerce game and how to play. And also, Secrets of America as well. Okay? So just send me an email, say, Tahaka, send me that, and we'll get right on to you. Now, what we're about to do is I want you to check out this thing, a start to finish of what happens when you sign your mortgage. What takes place? How have they tricked you, and where did the fraud come from? So I want you to listen to this right here, and keep in mind, the solution to this thing is already over there to hoggaarchive.org. And the way to access that is just go to newfreehelpgroup.com. All right?
I welcome this opportunity to chat with everybody, and thank you for taking time out of your evening and giving the old man your ear. Here's really what has transpired. You know, if you look back when you bought a home, you went to the bank and you filled out some paperwork. And one of the pieces of paper that you signed was your mortgage. And it was notarized and it was recorded with the clerk of deeds, register of deeds, or clerk of county, clerk of court, whatever. Okay? And the other piece of paper that you filled out and signed was a promise, and let's say you borrowed $400,000. Well, you signed a piece of paper where you promised to pay that man across the table or his representative $400,000 over a period of 30 years or 20 years or whatever the term was. But you signed that piece of paper, and it was not notarized. But it was like signing a blank check. But it was a promise to pay which made it a negotiable instrument. Now, when you signed that paper, you thought that the bank was going to give you $400,000. That's what you thought. Well, when you signed that piece of paper, what did they give you? They didn't give you anything yet. You just signed the document, and that piece of paper became an asset for that bank. It was now an asset that they owned. You no longer owned it. Yours was a promise to pay. So that asset was now $400,000 of theirs, and here's what they did with it. They didn't give you any money yet, but they took that asset and they created a bond, just like you would bail your nephew out of jail. They created a bond, and that bond they took it to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve gave them approximately 10 times the amount of your promise to pay. Now, let's say your promise to pay was $400,000. The Federal Reserve gave them a credit of about $4 million. Now, how much money have they put up? They have put up absolutely zero. They leveraged, and the technical word for it is monetized, but they leveraged your promise to pay to create $4 million. And they still had your promise to pay. They kept it. They just created a bond. They then took your promise to pay to another party, and we'll call that party a wholesaler, and that wholesaler took it to what we call an aggregator or trustee, and it was then sold to a trust, and 95% of the trusts are in New York. So it was sold on Wall Street. Well, where did the money come from for this note? Where did it come from? Well, the trust filed, before you even applied for that note, the trust filed what we call an 8K filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and we'll call it the Rosato Trust. And they told the Securities and Exchange Commission that they were going to sell investment certificates, and they were what we call mortgage-backed securities, or they were called CDOs, collateralized debt obligations. Whatever fancy term they called it, that note was the security for these folks to induce certificate holders or investors. Let's just say the folks that are listening to this phone call. Let's say they represent the school teachers in their area. So the school teachers' pension plan invested $10 million each into this trust that was backed by your promise to pay. So they were given, let's say, 6% return on their investment. But you were paying maybe 7%. So the trust was earning money, okay? Now, those certificates, okay, that were purchased by the investors, okay, that money went back to the bank that you signed that promise to pay with, and that's where the funds came from for you to buy your house. Wow. Wow. Listen to this for a minute. That piece of paper that was never notarized traveled all around the world, gathering a lot of money. It created $4 million for the bank in credit on your signature. It also induced a lot of school teachers' pension plans or firefighters' pension plans to invest into that trust. They got an investment certificate, and the funds came backwards to the bank, and the bank then, through the title company, they provided the $400,000 to purchase the house. Good deal. Very good deal. For who? For the bank. They got $4 million in credit and didn't put up a nickel. Now, the trustee for this trust, he is provided what we call a pooling and services agreement. That's his management book. That's his rules. That's what he has to follow to comply with the SEC rules. So in that pooling and services agreement, there's a clause in there that says if you fail to pay your mortgage, they entered into an insurance contract so that if that mortgage wasn't paid, the insurance company would pay it. But the money wouldn't go to you. It would go to the trust. So then we call that a credit default swap, and the insurance company is, listen to this, AIG. Now, when you got in trouble, and, you know, you lost your job or your overtime or for whatever reason, you tried to contact the bank and you got the runaround. You ended up talking to this person, that person, submit these papers. Oh, we lost them, submit them again. And all that crap that goes with it. But you were told we can't help you until you're 90 days late. Everybody's heard that. Well, guess what happened on day 91. On day 91, the insurance policy that the trustee entered into with AIG triggered a payoff, and the trust received the full amount of the note, regardless of how much you've paid on your mortgage. They got the full amount of the note. So if the note was insured for $400,000, the trust got $400,000. But here's a mystery here, and I'll explain it as easy as I can. The Federal Reserve allowed the trust to leverage that $400,000 note 30 times. So they created 30 different levels. Now your $400,000 note is purchased by other lenders, and along we go. So let's go back to the default. The AIG paid off the note when it was 91 days late. So at this point, who has lost any money? Nobody except AIG or insurers like that. Smith, Solomon, Barney Brothers, and all that stuff. Now, someone attempts to foreclose. And let's say the lender that you got the note from, they're going to foreclose on you. Or the trust is going to foreclose on you. Or let's say it's Wells Fargo acting as trustee for Bear Stearns Trust. Well, they're trying to steal the house. Because nobody has any skin in the game. They've all been paid commissions. And they've been very successful in stealing houses. What happened here? Well, I sat in the Fort Myers courtroom many times. And I watched folks, average folks, lose their house in 5 minutes because they didn't have an idea of what to do, didn't know where to go for an answer, and didn't have any money. Now, in this foreclosure arena, so I'll call it a football field, in this field of litigation, the only players are the consumers who have enough money to pay an attorney. And what is he doing? He's delaying the time so that you maybe save a couple of months of rent or mortgage payments. But at the end of the day, when you pull the shade down, turn the lights out, he wins a dismissal without prejudice, which means the bank that is foreclosing, who doesn't have any skin in the game, will come back again in a month and try to foreclose again. MERS technically is Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems. They were formed by the banks, and the banks became members. And MERS, at the closing table, is named as the nominee lender. They take possession of the mortgage electronically, not the hard copy, but electronically. MERS, their theory is and was that by they being the nominee lender and having possession of the mortgage electronically, they believe that the note followed the mortgage. And there are some judges who don't understand this who agreed with that. However, the U.S. Supreme Court in 1872 said, if the note and the mortgage are separated because one secures the other, if they're separated, they're both null and void. And to simplify it, if you were going to buy my car, you're not going to give me the check until I give you the title. The keys to the car are one thing, but the title is another thing. Now, MERS took possession of the mortgage, but they could not take possession of the note because the Kansas Supreme Court ruled that they are not a lender. With that being said, your loan was bifurcated. That's a legal word. Bifurcated right at the closing, but you didn't know that. Now, that means your chain of title was broken. So, fast-forwarding ahead, we simply said, and this workbook that I created, and I'm the only layman that I know of, and I've been told this, that's ever been approved by the Florida Bar to teach attorneys about this subject. I have subsequently been approved by the Georgia Bar, the Wisconsin Bar, the Nevada Bar, and other states to follow. So that's quite an accomplishment for a little white-haired old man to be able to be certified to teach attorneys. What you need is a securitization audit, which follows the paper trail from the time you closed until it enters into the trust. and a Bloomberg financial report that pulls out all of the financial information about the trust. When you have that information and it's accompanied with an affidavit sworn under the penalty of perjury, you now have evidence, you now have admissible evidence to the court that the note was paid off when the insurance or credit default swap was triggered. Well, if the note was paid off, who is damaged? Who is damaged? Nobody. The only logical people with a claim to that house, only logical people, would be the insurance company that paid out the claim. But now, here's the end of my story tonight, and then I'll open it up for questions. If you have your vehicle insured by, let's say, Geico, and you total it, Geico will write you a check for the value of the vehicle, but who owns the salvage rights? Think about that for a minute. Write your question down. Think about it. The salvage rights are owned by Geico. They then part it out or salvage sell it, whatever, so they can minimize their losses. Well, in the foreclosure arena, the insurance company is Geico, and if they paid off the certificate holders, then they would have a claim to the house. Logical. Except they insured unsecured notes. Remember, at the closing table, MERS became the nominee lender. It separated the note from the mortgage. The U.S. Supreme Court says that they're separated. They're both null and void. Well, Geico insured unsecured notes because the notes that were not accompanied by the mortgage or vice versa. Therefore, they had no claim on the wreck or the house. Whew. Now.
So essentially they're double dipping. Or double dipping and triple dipping.
Absolutely. And today Geico has a big time lawsuit against Bank of America because Geico, I'm not Geico, my God. When you get my age, you can invent words. AIG has a major lawsuit against Bank of America because Bank of America defrauded them on the quality of the loans. The loans were rated AAA by Standard & Poor's or Moody's or whatever, when in fact they slid into that pile of loans. They slid in some toxic loans, some marginal loans, and Geico ended up paying based on misrepresentation. Wow, what a hornet's nest. Here's what you do, and I did this with Regions Bank. I walked into the bank, and I said to the girl, I want to talk to the president. The bank has dirty diapers, and they really smell. Well, he's in conference. I said, it's no problem. I'll just drop the diapers right here. In less than 30 seconds, he comes out of his office, and he said, I overheard the conversation. What's the problem? I said, you got dirty diapers. There's fraud in these loans. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to litigate or do you want to negotiate? And so he called his legal department, and I said, here's the proof. You people have already been paid. What do you want to do? And it stopped all the activity in court because you had proof. And that's the value of the securitization audit in the Bloomberg Financial Report. So if I were a real estate investor, I would not rely on any modification because you're dealing with someone who doesn't own the note. Remember earlier in the conversation, a lawyer here in Cape Coral, and a real estate broker. They were partners. They paid the bank $156,000, and Randy, I think you saw the article. And the bank didn't own it. So if I'm an investor, how the hell do I know who owns the note? So the only way I can find out who owns the note so I can sit across the table and cut a deal is to flush them out of the woodwork. And how do you flush them out? You sue them. Wow. This old man's got a lot of enthusiasm, okay? The ability to walk into the bank and say to the bank, to the president of the bank, you have dirty diapers. Do you want to litigate or do you want to negotiate? And they always would rather negotiate. And then it's a question of how much money they will take based on today's value. So if a home had a mortgage of $400,000 and it's worth $200,000 today, banks are negotiating today's value. Now, can the individual homeowner negotiate? No. No. Because then the bank says, well, why don't you pay me in the first place?
Okay, Morris, did y'all get that? Now, this is very, very interesting because that goes to show you that the entire system of how they got this thing set up is very corrupt. And when the bubble on this thing popped recently, you had banks bundling mortgages. I mean, they was putting whole packages of people mortgages, and they were selling and robbing and stealing so much because there was so much money being gotten off your signature for the loan that they didn't know who owned what. And you had, there have been cases where people have been mortgage companies trying to foreclose on people's property, more than one mortgage company trying to foreclose on the same property because they don't know what's going on. They done bundled and sold everything. So this is a step-by-step showing you exactly how they do this thing. But we have a system to show you how to get rid of this thing in the beginning, and you go to newfreehelpgroup.com. Everything's right there in a nutshell for you. We got people with the hand raised. I'm going to open up the lines, and I'll let you in. We're going to start with area code 336. If you got a question or comment, let me know who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment. 336, come on in. Okay, let's go to 817. 817, what's your question?
Brother Tarka, at the end of that gentleman's conversation, he said something about that the individual can't negotiate. Can you clarify that?
Okay, well, what has to happen is you cannot negotiate because your signature is on that promissory note. If you are now, if you are skillful, you can. What you're trying to do is force the bank by simply letting them know, "Hey, man, I got the evidence right here." Remember, you said he's got the evidence right there in his hand.
Right.
But
right.
What you want to do, because see, when you sign that promissory note to your advantage, and what a lot of people don't know is they did not take that note and had it notarized. Not a mortgage agreement. They took that, had it notarized, and the notary signature is acting as Secretary of State. But when it came to the promissory note at the bank, that's not a bona fide document. It carries very little weight because there is no notary signatures. There's no backup to say that this thing is totally legitimate. Here's the signature. Here's a certified notarized copy of the actual note. In a lot of cases, all you have to do is ask your mortgage company to send you a copy of the original note. Because usually what happens when you get your mortgage, they'll start setting these things off, selling the contracts, but the original mortgage is the first thing destroyed. That keeps any evidence on the mortgage from coming back to them. And they're able to create the scam. Everybody's getting paid. They're getting paid over and over and over again. And the thing is insured. So if you get behind on your mortgage, if you're 90 days late behind on the mortgage, the insurance company, once again, come in and pay them again. So it's all paid for. Your signature paid for it the first time. Then they sold these bundles. They got paid again. And then if you default on the mortgage, the insurance company kicks in, pay the whole thing off. But remember what he said. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask you, because he said the way you ask for proof is through a securitization audit, a Bloomberg financial statement, and then he said an affidavit of what was that last part of that affidavit?
That's an affidavit of fact, an affidavit of truth. Now, in your affidavit, in this particular situation, and this is part of our system that we have for getting rid of the whole thing, whether you're in foreclosure or not, it's best to get rid of it because the whole thing is illegal, you know, period. Mm-hmm. In your affidavit, what is contained in your affidavit is the entire story, step by step, the whole fraud, the gold seizure, house joint resolution, your signature, all of that is explained in these particular type of affidavits. But now, when you get ready to force the bank, now he's talking about going there and forcing the bank to renegotiate. Now, when we talk about renegotiate, if you got we'll say you're home $100,000. Now, that's what you – but in actuality, the house could be worth in today's market because it has to be based on today's market. On the day that you bought it, it had to be based on today's market, on today's market. Okay. So today's market, it might be $40,000. So you got he's going to go in and they're going to reduce and readjust everything on the current mortgage, but what we are talking about, the best thing to do is to get rid of the whole thing, including the property taxes. Well, there's a certain way you have to do that. There's certain documents that you're going to have to put in place, and that's right there down in newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you go there, we get you that. But there is a series of documents. There's your affidavits and stuff. You're going to have to get these signed and notarized. You're going to have to follow the instructions step by step, and they'll tell you exactly how to do that. I can't explain all that to you right here. It'll get kind of technical, but once you see it and look over it, you'll understand. But what we're trying to do now is give a breakdown. No, that's not in the archive. That's over to – if you go to newfreehelpgroup.com and click on talkerarchives.org, you'll see the various packages there for that, how to get rid of the mortgage, how to deal with your student loan, child support, how to cancel all your other little minor contracts like your credit cards and stuff like that. All of those are listed right there for you. And what we'll do is once you get one of those, we'll walk with you through it step by step until you get the process completed.
Okay.
Now, what we want to do now is we want to look at some other things that you need to consider when you are in your home, because there's some things that's happening inside the United States because people haven't gotten out of these contracts. There's certain things that they haven't done down at the courthouse to gain control. And so we want to take a look at these things so we'll know what we need to do in the event that something goes on. Brother, I appreciate you for calling in, okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, bro. All right. Now, let's take a look at a situation that occurred out in Texas with the young lady out there. And see, I'll sit back. It's only a few moments.
So here's what's happening in East Texas. A foreign corporation, actually a multinational corporation based in Canada, is confiscating private land belonging to a 78-year-old great-grandmother in order to build a toxic pipeline to ship oil off to other foreign nations. Just another day in third-world America. Here is Eleanor Fairchild and actress Daryl Hannah standing in front of tractors that are clearing a pathway for the pipeline right through Fairchild's 300-acre ranch. Those tractors belong to the Canadian company, TransCanada, which recently won approval to build a massive toxic tar sands oil pipeline right through the United States and right through Mrs. Fairchild's property down to Texas, where oil billionaires can refine it and then ship it off to the rest of the world, making big profits for themselves and for TransCanada. You see, Texas has very lax eminent domain laws, meaning TransCanada had very little trouble confiscating a large swath of Mrs. Fairchild's ranch, and not a single local politician or lawyer has come to her aid, mainly because you don't say no to big oil in Texas. And when Mrs. Fairchild, joined by activist Daryl Hannah, an actress, confronted those tractors, she was promptly arrested for trespassing. Trespassing on her own property. She's powerless, watching her ranch full of lush forests, wetlands, and natural springs get uprooted with heavy machinery and bisected by a massive pipeline that could one day spill toxic crude all over what's left. And she's not the only one. Several other nearby landowners are taking TransCanada to court, pushing back on the eminent domain claims. Who knows if they can win now that even our courts have been corrupted by big oil money. But the big picture here is that the confiscation of Mrs. Fairchild's property is all part of the transnational corporate oligarchs' plan. It's all part of their plan to turn the United States into a third world mining and dumping pit for transnational corporations. Mitt Romney, the guy who bragged about harvesting businesses at Bain, gave lip service to this plan in the recent debate.
I want to get America and North America energy independent so we can create those jobs.
Notice how he said North American energy independence and not American or U.S. energy independence? It's because Mitt Romney thinks we should continue buying our oil from his corporate buddies who own oil fields in Canada and Mexico, adding on to our already enormous trade deficit. And given the way he ridiculed President Obama's green energy investments, clearly Romney's not interested in getting American energy independent through green energy. He's only interested in helping transnational oil corporations, like TransCanada in Canada, helping them make huge profits. And that's exactly what they're doing at the expense of Mrs. Fairchild and the rest of us. TransCanada's XL pipeline won't create millions of jobs like Mitt Romney and the rest of the oil shills say it will. It would create a few thousand temporary jobs in the United States, and that's it. And really, aside from the billions in profits that the oil barons are going to get in Texas, it's all the United States is getting out of the deal. Well, we're also getting the pollution from refining the toxic tar sands here instead of in Canada, the risk of spills along the pipeline built here instead of in Canada, and the deforestation and contamination of aquifers here instead of in Canada. And who gets the thousands of cancers from the toxic chemicals belched out of the smokestacks of the refineries in South Texas? Why, that would be the mostly poor and mostly minority people who live in the few hundred miles from Texas to and through Louisiana, where the prevailing winds carry those poisons. But Canada is getting all the profits. And guess who's getting most of the oil? Mexico, South America, India, and China. Little to none of that refined oil is going to be sold here in the United States. In fact, gas prices in the Midwest are expected to increase by 20 cents a gallon when this pipeline is finished. This, folks, is a scam. But tragically, these sorts of scams are the norm now, as our national sovereignty and our individual health are being ruined by transnational corporate capitalism that's devouring the last remaining bits of the American middle class and turning the United States into the most rapidly undeveloping nation that's ever existed. When American citizens are having their property taken from them to boost the profits of a foreign corporation, then it's clear that our democratic institutions have failed. It's clear that the corporatocracy is now making way too many of the decisions. Tell everyone you know about the theft of Eleanor Fairchild's ranch land, because if this is allowed to continue, then it could be your home, your property, and your livelihood that's stolen.
Greetings. I'd like to invite you out to the Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem El of the Temerite II Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour. Sundiata Amael, Professor Isef Deanham L. Tahaka Amana L. Abundance Child, Fatima, the Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L., and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state, Morris Eastside Farms, creating one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
nation. You want to know my occupation? I get paid to rock the nation. I go to work. I go to work.
Okay, Moors, we got a new website up. It's newfreehelpgroup.com. Now, when you go over to newfreehelpgroup.com, make sure you examine everything that's there. We put several packages up for those people who have them. If you're in your house upside down and you just want to cancel your mortgage outright, it's all illegal anyway. Just go right over there to newfreehelpgroup.com, and the link of talkarchives.org is there. If you click on that, you will see all the packages that's made available to you. Now, don't forget, you cancel your debt, you got a student loan debt, child support debt, credit card debt, all that can be dealt with. And any other contract cancellations, you'll see all the packages that's there made available. But what we are doing is, for anybody that's accessing these packages all the way up until July, we're adding to our archives to each one. So don't forget, go right there to newfreehelpgroup.com and click on the link at talkarchives.org, and everything is sitting right there waiting on you. Okay? Peace, Moes.
All right, Moes, we're back. What we want to do now is, because we said a lot of things about the corruption about the land, the corruption about the mortgage, the corruption about your car when you buy one of them, the whole system in the United States operates on a continuous series of contract under what's called contract law. And when you have the proper documentation put together and you put it in the right place, in the right people's hands, you can turn this thing around for you. But what we want to do now is we're going to look at some things that's very, very important in regards to the whole system of this whole thing. So y'all sit back, hold your hat for a minute, and let's take a little ride, okay?
Over the years, I've seen so many changes in the law, and once upon a time, we were free to travel on the roads. We could never be stopped, but gradually over the years, I've seen all our rights and freedoms taken away from us. So what I've done is put this law presentation together to hopefully show you how and why we are sucked into the system and what you can do about it. So is the law deliberately confusing? Because I believe it's designed this way for a deliberate reason, is that lawyers and the courts can keep you tied up indefinitely to make money out of you. It's a very clever system. Because once upon a time there was only God's law, but now we've got all different types of laws. We've got maritime laws. We've got contract laws. We've got estate law, equity law, merchant, statute, bylaws, and regulations, which are all designed to tie us up to into their system. And the only way that we can see a way out of it is by hiring a lawyer or something like that to and paying them a fortune to get us off the charges that they lay against us. So why do we need all these laws, and how do they enslave us? So hopefully tonight we can show you what they have done to you, and you might be able to find a way out of the system. Now, a lot of the clues are contained in the Bible, and I've taken things from the Bible, and 1 Samuel 8, verse 1 to 22, it tells you in there how they do it, and it says, "They will take a tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants." Now, it's a bit vague there, so let's look a little bit further. Have you ever heard possession is nine-tenths of the law? Because this is exactly what it is. They have title over us. The title is what keeps us in the system. They hold title over us, our land, our cars, our children, and everything else. Once upon a time, we used to have ownership papers for our cars, but back in the 90s, they took away the ownership papers, and now they totally own the cars, and that's why they can confiscate them on the side of the road. And if you don't believe me, just do something wrong and see what happens, especially the boy racers. Now, they do this in a variety of ways, but the main way that they use is by using words. So they use these words that we think are quite normal and people use them in everyday life. But when you go to Bovier's Law Dictionary, you'll see that they're quite different to what we think they are. So when you're born, you arrive in the delivery room. So nothing sinister about that, is there? Until you look it up. Delivery means the transferring of possession from one person to another. Now, every time possession is transferred, a trust is formed in equity. This happens by law, automatically by law. Birth, the act of a child being born. But if you look at birth, it's exactly the same word. They've just changed the I and the E. So we need to have a look at what birth actually means. So we go to Bovier's Law Dictionary, and you can find this by going to Google. Look up Bovier's Law Dictionary, then go to certificate. Certificate. There are two kinds of certificates, those required by the law and those which are merely voluntary. Of the first kind of certificates given to an insolvent on his discharge, but now the one we want, and that says, and those given to aliens that they have been naturalized. So there's one of the first clues. As soon as you get a birth certificate, you are an alien and you have been naturalized. Oh. How can they do that? They ask your parents to register you at birth. Now, when you get registered, you give away your freedoms and you obtain benefits. Once upon a time, you didn't register your children or your marriage. You just put it in your family Bible. And then slowly, the churches took over that role and used to enter you in the church registries. So when title is transferred, a trust is formed, as we said earlier. So your birth registration transfers title to a foreign situs trust. And that's the first trust they set up for you. Now, once again, we go back to the Bible, but with all these laws came later than the original. The originals were what we call the papal bulls. Now, the papal bulls were put out by the popes, Pope. The papal bulls took away all our rights, and so if you want to go back further, you will find them. But after these papal bulls were put out, then the legislators put in the laws to get us to believe, because we elected them, that that they could put in these things for our benefit. So we go back to the Bible and have a look at what it says. It says, beware the mark of the beast. And the number of the beast was 666. Now, back in 1666, two things happened in London. We're only talking about London here, but someone set London on fire in what we call a false flag operation, because Parliament needed to rush through the Sedicay-Vi Act 1666. So while everyone was busy putting out the fire, the fire of London, the Sedicay-Vi Act was being rushed through Parliament. So we need to see in Bovier's Law Dictionary what Sedicay-Vi means. Now, I've already shown you how to go to Google and look up words, so please do yourself a favor and actually go online or get a copy of these books and go through and look them up yourself. Don't take my word for anything. But Sedicay-Vi, he for whose life land is holden by another. The latter is called tenant per otrovi, or tenant for another's life. So what they're doing is, by putting you in these trusts, they have put in a tenant for your life. And Sedeque Vae Act, if you go back to the Bible, says that from the dust of the earth, God created man in his own image. The Sedeque Vae Act did that. It created man made of paper, which is just a title, and it looks exactly like us. So what they're saying is we created man in his own image. So if you look at your all capitals name, it looks just like you. Once again, we'll go to Google and we'll look at legislation, New Zealand legislation that is, and so this is how you find it. Go down, unclick the box there, and then go to the Land Transfer Act. And you might find something very interesting in the interpretation here. Land. Land includes messuages, tenements, and hereditaments, corporeal and incorporeal. Corporeal means real, and incorporeal means not real. Of every kind in the description, and every estate or interest therein. Okay, so what we are is an estate. Now, they have created an estate, and they call it land. And we will find out, when an act says it includes something, everything else is excluded. So if you go to Bovier's and look at the maxim, inclusio unius est exclusio ulterioris, the inclusion of one is the exclusion of another. Now, quite often through this presentation, we're going to be looking at words that are defined in different acts. And you need to know that if it includes something, then it excludes everything else. So if it does not include what they are saying, then it is excluded. The Births, Deaths, and Marriages Registration Act 1995 says that birth includes a stillbirth. Now, we've already said if it doesn't include, it must exclude. So, does birth include a live birth? Obviously not. Child includes a stillborn. Does it include a live born? Obviously not. So, straight away, you're starting to get a picture of what's happening here, because your birth certificate is actually your death certificate. So let's have a little recap here. When you're born, the hospital issues a live-born certificate with weight to the government. Now, the weight is very important, and still measured in ounces. The husband registers the child under the Births, Deaths and Marriages Act. The government registers a foreign situs trust in real name, the same as your birth certificate. Now, this is actually a bond. Your birth certificate is a bond, and that bond gets sold off onto the markets. The World Bank, as settler, settles your trust with your birth weight in gold. So when they say that you're worth your weight in gold, they're not lying. Okay, they sell that bond off onto the markets. And it is in gold. So let's look at what a foreign situs trust is. And it refers to a trust created under foreign law. So it's law that is not, that is foreign to us. Now, if you look at situs situation, real estate is always a fixed situs, while personal estate has no such fixed situs. The law Ray site regulates real but not the personal estate. So that's what a foreign situs trust is. If you study that, you will get the idea of what a foreign situs trust is. Now, once again, it's all in the language. And so what they're saying is that you were birthed. Well, ships get birthed too, don't they? But I can tell you that you were born alive and kicking. But by registering your birth with the government, your parents inadvertently killed you, in law that is, not in real life. Because once you die, a new set of rules applies. And this is the whole trick. If you have died without leaving a will, what happens? Someone is appointed to manage your trust estate, your trust account or your estate for you, because you have died intestate. And if you've ever been down to the local tombstones, you can verify this, because all tombstones are spelt in all capitals. And if you ever see anything that the government sends you, it will be in all capitals. But as you're dead at law, you did not leave your last will and testament, it means that you died intestate. So someone's going to be looking after your estate for you, and along comes the public trust, and they apply to the family court to manage your estate for you. Well, how do you do that, they say? So, well, let's look at it. It's done under the Protection of Personal and Property Rights Act. Once again, we'll have a look at the legislation, and that is the form that they use. Application for order to administer property. So once they take that to the court, and of course it's just a rubber stamp, naturally they get it because no one's going to contest it, because you're still a babe in arms and your parents don't know a thing about what's going on. So they apply to administer your property for you. And believe me, over a lifetime it's worth quite an amount. But unfortunately it goes a lot deeper than just that. The Status of Children Act 1969 adds another level to the puzzle. In the definition, is that marriage includes a void marriage, and married has a corresponding meaning. So marriage means that you weren't married at all. Therefore, in law, you're a bastard. Now, as we already know, we are dead. In law, we are dead bastards. Phew, it's getting pretty grim, isn't it? So let's have a look what the significance of being a bastard is. It means that no estate can descend to you, but he may take by testament. Okay, you may take by testament, but you must obtain a name by reputation. Now, unfortunately, if you've gone and got yourself baptized, you've gone and proved again that you've given your soul away to the devil once again by being baptized. You need to go back to the papal bulls to understand what that means. So statute has removed your right to inheritance, but because the law is all false and nothing is real, and they actually tell you this, that nothing is real, they tell you that everything is just an act. Well, what do actors do? They act, and every one of them is an actor. The politicians, the judges, the lawyers, they're all actors, and they're very good actors. And when they say, this act empowers me to do this and that and the other, I say, well, my Weet-Bix empowers me. Because they are all actors. And not so long ago in court, I hopped up to speak for one of my friends in court, and the judge was giving him a bit of a hard time, so I thought I'd step up and give him a hand. And the judge says, you have no right to speak in here. Well, I said, well, absolutely I do, Your Honour. And I said, even if being a sovereign doesn't give me that right, under your law, Section 82 of the Lawyers Act allows me to become a Maori agent. And absolutely through the judge, because he didn't know what Section 82 was. So he says, well, what does that say? Well, it says that anyone can act as an agent for a Maori. And I says, but unlike you and your friend over there, I said, I won't be acting. I'll be working for him. Well, the judge and the lawyer had a little snigger, but the gallery absolutely erupted. So anyway, that tells you that the law is just an act, and so therefore there must be a remedy. And the maxims of law do tell you that there is a remedy. Now, the Wills Act 1837 is our way out. Now, we just saw back a little bit there that if you take by testament, okay, the Wills Act 1837 actually tells us this, that all property may be disposed of by will. So all the property that is held in trust for us may be disposed of by will. But firstly, you must gain a name by reputation, and then you can claim what is rightfully yours. Now, right through the, a lot of the movies give it away, and Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my favourite ones in that they refer to everything as in the treasure chest. And the way that they claim to get access to their treasure chest is that they must, only the person whose blood is spilt into the treasure chest can open that treasure chest. That means that trust or that estate that belongs to you, you are the only one that can access it. Therefore, it must be your DNA or your will that opens that. But others do have the rights to access our trust account, and they do all the time. We'll show you that in the next presentation. Okay, the creators must realize that at some stage someone would discover this multi-level deception, so another level of deception is added to further confuse you. When you were birthed into the New Zealand Company, you were registered as a vessel and also as land. Go check what powers of attorney are registered. Land Information New Zealand. We're land, folks. Out of the dust of the earth, God created man. We are land. They're telling you. Now, the first offices that when the East India Company established new colonies all around the world, they put the missionaries in first. The missionaries won them over. But then the first offices that they put in were the ship's registry, followed by the post office. Everyone that was birthed into the new colony was registered. Now, in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, you'll see right at the beginning there where Jack Sparrow is slowly sinking down in the ship, and he's got his hand up on the mast, and he slowly comes down. He steps off onto the wharf, and the little fat registrar comes running down. He says, "That'll be a shilling for birthing, and we'll need your name." So they're telling you to be birthed into the system, you must have a name. Now, the post office then extends the jurisdiction over the land. Now, not many people realise that a road is actually a sea lane into port. And the post office then extended those roads over the land, or a veneer over the land. They're not actually on the land, they're what they call in the land. Now, at age 18, or up until 18, you're a minor and your trust is managed by public trust. But the government makes you an offer at 18 that you can't refuse. Well, most people can't anyway. Most people will accept it. What you say? Don't remember that. Of course you wouldn't. But they're asking you, would you like to be represented? And everyone's so carried away with wanting to vote and kick that last government out because they're rat bags and get the next government in, they don't realise that there is a hook embedded in the offer. The hook is, would you like to be represented as an entity? Not as yourself, but as an entity. We have a House of Representatives, and if you would like to vote for one of them, they will represent you. And, of course, the chief one of those is a general. A bit higher than a sergeant or a corporal, isn't it? He's the Attorney General, and he's the chief of all those representatives. Now, let's go a little bit further into the law. And once again, go to Google, look up legislation, and look up these things for yourself. Do yourself a favour. Don't just take my word for any of this. But the title of this act should wake you up to the fact that you are regarded as property. Section 22 of the Property Law Act says, persons between 18 and 20 years may do certain things. A person who is 18 years old or older may execute a deed, appoint an attorney to act or do anything that that person himself or herself can do, accept appointment, or act as an attorney. Whoops! As the Wills Act 1837 told us that everything could be disposed of by will and that we could appoint a power of attorney, why would we want to vote then? The Property Law Act Section 22 tells us we can appoint an attorney, our own power of attorney. But now we're stuck. At age 18, you're going to add value. When you sign your IR 330 form to register as a taxpayer, the title is once more transferred, and when a title is transferred, another trust is set up. Now, this is the all capitals name that we're now familiar with. But there is a balance, luckily. The foreign situs trust created by your birth holds all your inheritable property. So they have to put a balance in there. They create another vessel to trade with. This is the all caps entity they use to plunder your property. Now, have you noticed that whenever you receive any letters of communication from a government department, it's always in capital letters? Now, it's addressed to your estate, not to you. But because it looks like your name, because it was created in the image of you, you absolutely believe it is you. So you naturally open it, don't you? But should you? If it's addressed to a trust or an estate, are you the trustee of that trust or that estate? I can assure you, you're not. You're a beneficiary, or you could be a beneficiary, because it was set up on your behalf, and you're the only one that adds value to it, because it ceases when you cease to exist. But who was the settler? The World Bank, of course. And who is the trustee? Public trust pretty much run it up until you're 18, but then lots of people get into it. But once you've given your rights over to the politicians or to the representatives down there in Wellington, they're pretty much the trustees. So why is there the need for such deception? The New Zealand company borrowed money from the international bankers to establish the colony and had trouble repaying the loan. Now, this isn't just New Zealand. This is worldwide. Every country that was taken over by the bankers, they are the ones who issued the money to the people to colonize all the different lands. And now, in our case, it was the East Indian Company. The result was that the international bankers put New Zealand into bankruptcy in 1933, and the government agreed to make the people of New Zealand as collateral for that debt. Now, there was another act that came out in that around that time too, was the 1933 Coinage Act. And that they also took away our gold. Since 1933, all New Zealand citizens have been required by law to have birth certificates, tax identification numbers. Now, if you go to the Wizard of Oz, they'll explain where you get the Tin Man tax identification number. Passports, up until, I think it was around about 1980 before we had to have passports to go to Australia. And, you know, I mean, it's only, as I mentioned right at the beginning, I've seen all these things come in. So, I mean, I'm living history. I've seen all these things come in over my lifetime. Once upon a time, the police, or it used to be traffic cops back in those days, could never pull you up unless you had actually done something wrong. We had police force and a traffic force, and the worst thing they ever did was to merge the two. Because it lowered the police force down to the mentality of the traffic enforcement agency, which was the most hated company in New Zealand. But once they have all these numbers, they can, the international bankers can track and control us, and they can recoup their debts via taxes, rates, fines, etc. And they do. They also took away our gold and silver, as I mentioned, as our only true means to make payment. But as they took away that payment, they set up trusts for our benefits. And from that time, the only method of payment has been either promise to pay or legal tender. There is another exception. Unless you have a prior arrangement. So you need to get a prior arrangement in place if you want to pay other than by legal tender. The government and big corporations access our trust accounts regularly to allow commerce. They know how to access these. They get given the secrets. But don't go talking to the minnows on the counters or the minnows on the end of a telephone line. They wouldn't have a clue. It's only the people at the very, very top of every structure that know these things. Now, they didn't teach us how to access them up until now, so we're going to give you a few clues. But it's up to you. Are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill, as the Matrix says? If you take the red pill and see how deep the rabbit hole goes, then believe me, it goes deep. And there's twists and turns all the way. But I believe that 95% of people will take the blue pill, and they'll wake up in bed believing whatever they want to believe, and they'll just say, what's on TV, love? But if you've taken the red pill, the choice is yours, and it begins with the first step, sovereignty or servitude. It's not for the faint-hearted, as the system has learned very effectively how to keep the sheep in the paddock. Now, there's a very good analogy that if you look at sheep, they wander around all year, eating up the grass, and to all intents and purposes, they think they're free. Farmer doesn't do too much except once a year, rounds them all up, herds them into a pen, and taxes them. He takes the wool off their back, takes the shirt off their back, says, right, that's your tax for the year, right, out you go and eat. But if one of those sheep should escape and get through the fence, by Jove, does the farmer come down on him. He sets his dogs on them, rounds them up with a motorbike, to get them back into the paddock. Does that sound familiar? And here's how they do it to us, by the F words. Force and fear. They either force you to do it, or they force you to do it with fear. And sometimes they'll use a bit of extreme force. As the system is totally fraudulent, they did promise us full disclosure, and they do. It's disguised in codes, movies, stories, parables, it's in the Bible. It's all there, but you have to got to a certain stage where you start to see things the way they are. The Wizard of Oz, OZ, what's that an abbreviation for? Ounces of gold. They took away the gold from us, and they were telling us in The Wizard of Oz, the yellow brick road, what's yellow? Gold. Where did the yellow brick road go to? Emerald City. And who was there? The Wizard of Gold, The Wizard of Oz. And that's where they told you that they'd set up a straw man for you, but they needed a tax identification number, the Tin Man. Was all there, but they knew that the people were like the lion. They had no courage to stand up and fight them. Monsters, Inc., this is a great one, because the moment you lose your fear, and it tells you in this movie, the moment you lose your fear, they're gone. There's nothing they can do to you. The Matrix. We create our own sense of reality. So true. And my favourite, Pirates of the Caribbean, how to gain access to your trust account. But it's only you that can overcome that fear and take the first step. I can't do it for you, but hopefully if you're watching this, you may decide it's for you, you may not. Choice is yours, red pill, blue pill. You'll need to turn off the TV because it's the biggest distraction out. And if you go right back to the Roman Empire, what they used to say there, keep them entertained. Throw another Christian into the lions. Winston Shroud has been a great help in this walk. His DVD sets are very good, well worth investing in, or seeing if you can watch someone else's. Learning the words is absolutely crucial. Understand, every time anyone uses this on you, what they're saying is, do you stand under me? If you stand under me, then I have power over you. But if you don't understand me, I can't do anything to you. Because they need your permission. So if you say, yes, I understand, I stand under you, you've given them permission. It's quite simple. May not seem like it, but everything they do say or send you is an offer. Now, that's the hard part to fathom out. Everything's an offer, and you've got to fill it out or accept it the right way. But learn to accept their offers, honor and dishonor. It's a very simple process. When they make you an offer, if you argue, which most people do, or agree, or go silent, you have dishonored their presentment. It's quite hard to get your head around this, but you can accept their claim conditionally. Say, thank you for your offer. I'll conditionally accept what you say is correct. But now, can you give me some proof? And most times they'll come up short. Or they'll use the F words on you. Force and fear. But it keeps you honorable and stops them in their tracks when you do this sort of thing. The very next thing they try is fear or force to get you to accept their contract. Do it all the time. They'll threaten you. If you don't do this, I'll arrest you. I'll fine you. I'll take you to court. I'll take your car from you. I'll do this. I'll do that. Conditionally accept that. And say, prove it to me. And this is a good one. I love this. This is the international surrender. Threat. The moment you do that, I use that all the time, and boy, they hate it. Absolutely hate it. It stops them in their tracks, I can tell you. It absolutely stops them in their tracks. You say, oh, I'm so threatened, I'll do anything you say. But ask them politely, if anything signed under duress will stand up in court. And I can tell you, once you start standing up to these people, now the last one I had was a dog person. She went away and got her big boss, and he came out, and the boss had a junior with him who started making all sorts of things, and I, threat. Well, the boss threw him back into the car. He said, get back to the car and shut up. Because they know how far they can go. The ones at the top know how far they can go. Okay, so how are you going to do this? The first step is to capture your trust by putting a lien on the title. Okay, as I told you right at the beginning, they have got title over us. And it's that title that they use to control us. So you accept your birth certificate and return it to them. You register on the PPSR. This puts a lien on your property. You register yourself to issue bonds and other securities. You need to issue bonds because when you go into court, the judges are bonded, and unless you can bond them with your bond, then they can't do anything. It's their public liability insurance. So you must be able to bond them. Once they know that they have a bond in place and they're not going to get done, then they will do things for you. What we'll be doing in the next video is we'll be looking at the banking system and seeing how you can access your trust account, and further steps on how to take control of your life.
All right, Moses, we back. I hope that was a clear and concise understanding from start to finish to show you what has transpired from the beginning and some very valuable information that he gave us. Number one, terminology. And we have already provided the best of that right there in Tahaka's archives. Tahaka's Master Library, right there where it says Law Dictionaries. We have Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9, the whole set of Black's Law right there. Probably about $5,000 worth of Black's Law is right there. And then we have Bouvier. Well, he pronounced it Bouvier, but it's Bouvier's Dictionary. We have Oxford. We have the Essentials. We have etymology. We have everything you need from every conceivable angle right there. Just under that one link alone, this is a massive archive. And those people who make any donations, because we are a nonprofit, New Free Help Group is a nonprofit system set up. And when you donate to any of the items that we have listed there, what we will do is we will take the proceeds and put the proceeds in a system. We have the Morris Summit set up here. We are creating a model for you to come and see so that you can go back to your city where you live and do the same thing. Is all designed, the whole thing is all designed to set you free. I do this on a daily basis. I talk to people all over the United States and sometimes outside the United States. I've dealt with brothers as far as Afghanistan. I ain't even known a brother was over there. Japan, you name it. I talk to them. And they are all busy actively doing what they're supposed to do. And I am quite proud of them. And so I work with them on a daily basis. But I want you to know that when you go there and you access what's there and you make your donations, I want you to know that we're not just taking your donations and going to the nightclub, because y'all know I don't do that in no way. But anyway, is because, see, we're in a critical time now inside the United States, and somebody got to do something to help all of us some kind of way. Who knows? What we're doing may not work or something. But I tell you what, it sure won't be for lack of trying. Because we, the team that we're dealing with, we ain't playing. And for those of you who did not come to the Morris Summit 1, you need to be here for Morris Summit 2 so that you can see what we're doing. And for those of you who have donated to the Tahaka Archives and stuff, you'll see what we got going, and you'll know that what we're doing, what you donated to, ain't in vain. Because this right here is to help everybody. Now, as far as your contracts are concerned, you can cancel those. We got all kind of information in there on audio. We got it on video. We got it in PDF. We got it in Word, your documents and stuff. And I must commend my brothers and sisters across the country because I have had a tremendous amount of success stories based on the materials that they have gotten out of this thing and actually used to do much, much better with their lives. They're able to cancel these contracts. They've set up their trust. We got them doing their wills. They're putting their will on file. They're dealing with the police a different kind of way. They're dealing with the courts a whole different kind of way. They're able to handle the bill collectors, mortgage collectors, tax collectors, the whole ball of wax. So I feel that Allah has blessed me, and he is helping me to continue to help my people. We have to lift up our people. So you can be successful by yourself, but the most important thing is to try to make other people successful as you go along. You want to be a help to other people. And, of course, y'all know my philosophy. My people come first, everybody comes second. So we're going to start with those people who've been classified as Negro, colors, and blacks in America. Now, these are the ones mostly I work with. But we have, I've dealt with people from Mexico. I've dealt with people from Puerto Rico. I've dealt with people from Cuba. And they have accessed this thing, and they also come along, and all the people of color are coming along, and they're working good. Now, as far as your contract is concerned, your birth certificate, there are many different ways that you can deal with that. But before you deal with anything, my first advice to you is to learn something about what you're about to get involved with before you do anything. Get your mind off the documents. The documents are there. The documents are there. The contracts are there. We got all of that. But you want to learn about what you're about to endeavor, get involved in. Now, when you get that, your confidence builds. Because remember, the last thing he told you is to remove fear. You remove fear by coming skill. I keep telling you that over and over and over. You replace fear with skill. And when you learn what's going on, when you look up the definition of these words and terminology, these words and what they mean, because this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Now, he also told you that the little peons, the little minerals down at the bottom, they don't know jack about nothing. The ones out there on the street with the guns and badges, they don't know law. What they're doing is enforcing statutes and ordinances, and statutes and ordinances is not law. But when you get skilled and you show up, here come the law. You see. And the people at the top, those are the ones who we want. Like, when I got out there on the pavement and started exercising my freedom of rights to travel, I already knew this. So when the popo stopped me, I already told him, I said, hey, man, look, I'm not interested in dealing with you. I'm not going to sue you. The one I want is the one that got you out here. And when I want to find out who his boss is, because I want him too. And if he got a boss, I want his boss too. That's the one I want. I don't want no peons. I won't deal with no peons. I want to get to the crux of the matter, to the very root of this thing, and pull this thing up, and so that the people can be free, you know. But the man gave you an excellent breakdown on everything that I have been saying for years. I even had the picture of Lawrence Fishburne out there with the red pill and the blue pill. He brought that up. And they told you about the Wizard of Oz. We've already covered that in previous broadcasts to show you. They brought the whole story out and showed you exactly what they did. They owe the international bankers. They can't pay the international bankers, so they done pledged you and me as security for payment to the international bankers, and they got us in the title and contracts and stuff at birth, so they're able to regard us as their property. Well, they was able to do that until me and a few others came along. We done pulled the switch now. We switch it out. Hold on. The jig is up, and we turn this thing around. And they be like, we don't want to deal with him because he, you know, he one of them kind of sheep that be getting out of the fence. So, but just think for a minute. What if we had 60 million sheep getting out of the fence? They ain't got 60 million sheep dogs. Man, y'all got to excuse me. But anyway, that's what it's all about. And once again, go to newfreehelpgroup.com Com. Let's get started, because see, a lot of us feel like, a lot of people feel like, well, I don't feel no pain. You know, I'm all right. I got a job. I get paid every Friday. Me and my wife getting along. And I got a good relation with my landlord and all these different things. And we feel like everything is hunky-dory, you see. But brothers and sisters, you are bound in these contracts. Now, the first thing you want to do is establish a previous contract before you get start getting rid of this old slave chains. You want to go over to www.moorishamericangov.org. Register with your government on the census. Call into the national conference call. The telephone number is right over there. And start getting to know your government officials. And they'll get to know you, you see. The Grand National Chairman, he told me, he said, and he got on the national conference call. He said, if brother, something happened to Brother Tahaka, we bring the full weight of the government. That's what you need. You see. And if you're not a citizen, see, if you can't be a citizen of the United States Corporation, they done already enslaved you and done told somebody else to gave them some money that don't worry about it. We'll give you this man over here and as payment for the debt, we just you own him. It's a mess, man. But you want to register with your government, and the place to go is to www.moorishamericangov.org. So that makes you a citizen of a government for the first time in your life. And you can get to talk to your government official. You can get to ask questions. You can make comments. And every Wednesday, I'm there, and we're discussing contract law and stuff. So make sure that you are there if you have questions or comments. Matter of fact, after I deliver what I have to deliver, the floor is open for questions and comments. So we look forward for you all coming on over and joining us there. Okay? Now, I want to make mention of the fact that Monday night, we will be dealing with the question of who and what is God. We've been dealing with that. Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Moorish Talk Live 100. Make sure you're here. Reminder for that broadcast will be going out in between now and Monday, and you'll get a chance to ask your questions, to bring some comments. If you got some things that you need to bring to the table that we need to know about, bring it on, because we're going to open up the phone lines, and you get a chance to tell us all about it, okay? That's Monday night, this coming Monday night. That'll be June the 10th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Moorish Talk Live 100. And you can bring us the information, and we can deal with it right there. But we're going to deal with this thing about who and what is God. You know, how many gods are made in a man's image? Where the concept of God came from in the first place? We're gonna dig that up and take a look at this thing. And see if we can deal with it from every conceivable angle. Okay? Now, for the month of remaining month of June, we're only going to be doing two-hour broadcasts. All right? There'll be two-hour broadcasts. And when we get into the month of July, we're going to be going back to the three-hour broadcast. Okay? So that way, I feel like I knock an hour off this thing and put the maximum amount of information in a two-hour span, and that will give us, those of you who are in your tropical states, like down here in Florida and in Texas, California, and on your East Coast or whatever, you have more time to get out and enjoy some of the sunshine, okay? But, of course, when October comes and the winter starts coming in, okay, it's time to bed down. It's time to go back to work. Working on them chains and sawing them shackles off your legs and getting rid of that junk until you get free, because if you ain't free, you can't do nothing. I mean, a lot of us, we've been enslaved so long to we won't even recognize freedom. That's the same thing that Harriet Tubman said. To ask if she thought she could free more people, she said, I freed 1,000. She said, I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. Because a lot of us think, well, I make $75,000 a year, And my question is, $75,000 worth of what? Fiat? Ain't no money, man. You better get out of this thing, man. Get out of this matrix, man. I've been your host, Hawk of Amana L. Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, I certainly appreciate y'all being here. Okay?
Now the man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day to school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man, and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She said she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin.